Oh, it's wonderful to be here. I'm so thrilled to be part of this wonderful series of poets, wonderful poets. Yeah, I've been thinking about it for weeks, so I'm glad to be here. I'm going to start with a poem from my book, Mapping the World, a few copies of which I still have and which are for sale if anyone's interested. As the winds blow. Morning woke me with twigs in my hair, the ground in my bones not yet the blanket it will be, and the gentle light before the sun. Morning quiet, after a night of crescent moon and howling dogs, just the silent applause to wakefulness of a plane tree, its crowd of leaves, little hands, choreographed by the wind into a soft swaying rhythm of morning dance, homage to a new day. Do you remember how it was before that collision of destinies at Meteora, when what was written was yet to unfold? We were travelling the same roads then, on different journeys, drawn unknowing toward that tumultuous landscape etched now in both our mythologies, Meteora, a place in time to which only memory may return. I was still voyaging the sea of my grief, my senses dancing the tempest, its winds, its currents, navigating blind, praying for a distant unseen shore somewhere among the disappearing, reappearing, disappearing horizons. This is how it is. As the winds blow, so do we move, meeting, parting, and again, meeting, parting. And when we are together, there is the same breath upon our cheeks, the same wind upon our backs, and we are as leaves in the wind, fluttering, balletic. And when we are apart, we dance to other breaths and manifold winds. History hides its secrets from the eye, its witnesses, those numerous hosts covering the earth, the bare earth itself, reticent, aloof. The bones of resistance rattle yet the slopes of Samaria Gorge. This much we know as we pass through, eyes interrogating the stones, the slopes, the trees, seeking their language, bidding them speak. They yield no more than the handicraft of water, sun, wind, past and present, and their own speechless beauty. I left you then to the caves at Lutra, rejoined you later across the Aegean at the next convergence of winds blowing to the north. Delphi, what was I hoping to find? Apollo has long since vanished, the oracle long ago silenced. There is only a charioteer sung into stone, the fragmented Delphic graveyard, stony hillside skeleton, an amphitheatre's spine, columns of bone strewn about, and the Corinthian Gulf glinting in the distance. And Parnassus, slopes bereft of the nine nymphs, harbours no more the muses. These places we visited and left, empty-handed. Amphissa, spread-eagled wings toward heaven mountains. Lamia, Tricola, kilometres unfurling like the morning after memories of dreams, unfurling through heat, rhythm of drowsiness, midday trees concentrating on their shadows. We inched through haze across the map, to Kalabaka, to eruptions of stone flung toward the heavens, like solidified outpourings from the heart, pillars smoothed by time and the elements, and monasteries touching the sky. I did not see the lightning between your eyes and hers, though it crackled the air and blazed the sky, nor sense the wrenching shift in your axis and the series of aftershocks as destiny's winds wrapped their mantle of forked paths around you, bore you off in unforeseen directions, though I noticed how readily you went, your willing capitulation to uncertainty. That new day that began so softly, who could have foretold what was to follow, its resonance through the years, the convoluted path of your journey onward? I have reached the shore at the edge of the sea of my grief. I will watch over you now as you make your way in that heavy sea toward your own shore. Thank you. A lot of my poetry is inspired by and directed to friends, family, people I know, and that was for a good friend of mine, Gordon. And this one, I'm going to read some poems that I'm going to road test on you. They haven't been read publicly before. These are what I call my Pittsburgh poems, some of them. And this one's inspired by my now 5-year-old daughter, Orlee, and it's called The Switch. It was all the trying of it, and at the same time the resistance to trying. It was the slow dredging of each letter from the sandbank of words, and the mouthwork, tentative, uncertain, wrapping itself into sound. It was the climb up the endless wall of the impenetrable, because someone had promised there were worlds to gaze on from its rim. It was that moment of astonishment, that spreading smile on her face, when she found the switch and flicked it on. A good friend of mine, Stephen Lawrence, an Australian poet, editor, reviewer, committed suicide a few weeks ago. I think the poetry community back home is still trying to work out what happened and how and why. I wrote these two poems recently for him. Last Flight. Instead of waiting for destiny's wings to unfold and carry him, helpless, over the looming dark horizon, he chose to grab it with his own hands and, wingless, to feel the rush of air upon his face, the hard pavement with its infinite patience. Poem for Stephen. What you left for us when you were overtaken by darkness were shards of light, not so much the rays of a setting sun igniting an evening sky and then fading, as myriad splinters caught in the remnants of a shattered mirror, along with broken reflections of ourselves. It's been a bit of a time of grief. Another friend of mine that I went through university with many years ago lost his son, 28-year-old son, to pancreatic cancer, which is quite unusual in young people. And I wanted to do something, write something about that, and I ended up with this. It's for Tim. I wish you long life. As you lower the coffin, toss the earth, you cannot dwell upon the weight in your bones, your slumped shoulders, the moist eyes around you, the valedictory words, the broken voices that agitate your sorrow. You have outlived your son, the son who bore the name of your father, the son who took you so beyond yourself and was meant to go so much further, and now must find a way to go beyond him, past the closed gate of his dreams, past the rickety swinging gate of your own. Knowing what he knew, he took his dreams and made gifts of them, opening them for you, his siblings, his close friends to enter, to walk into with him for a while, for just a short while, as when, like a bunch of pilgrims, devotional, praying silently, you and so many others shivered with him in the Pacific Ocean at dawn, whilst the sun, streaming between a sheet of sea, a blanket of cloud, ignited the day and again the span of a continent traversed, swimming in the Indian Ocean at dusk, thin streamers of cloud gilded apricot, pink mauve by the sun's fading light. Today you are bent, not as a tree before a strong wind, but as a father looking down on his son for the last time, this bending so different from all the others over the years, those times when your body was still pliable, when it could bend gently, your heart full of a different tenderness. Today you are hollowed and bent, unlike those earlier incarnations of yourself, bending over him in his cot, mouthing his name, bending to pick him up or put him down, to help him get dressed or tie his shoelaces, to hold his hand and look into his eyes, bending and finally leaning into his embrace, the welcome of his arms around you, your undiluted joy in seeing him lovely, so easily gathering the world to himself, and you ever pouring into him all the hopes and prayers from your cup of fatherhood. That is all finished now, the cup in his name fallen from your hands, shattered at your feet. You cannot mend those perforations of absence that open like dark mouths and gather, waiting to swallow you, nor fill them with memories, photographs, those short videos of a radiant child, beautiful boy, beautiful man. You must live alongside them. They are your companions now, though it is no easy companionship they offer in their dense, unforgiving silence. As you turn to leave, straightening slowly, returning yourself to the day, returning yourself to the air, the outrageously blue February sky, walking somberly in the hallowed tent of your other children, each holding a twisted rope of grief, each stumbling along a broken path in search of consolation, you do not notice the wind's quiet shushing through the she-oaks, the light descending, the beautiful aching light that comes each day like a silent blessing. You do not notice, and will not notice until one day, almost unwittingly, you will lift your face, open it to receive, as if again entering a dream, a life where darkness retreats, the darkness beyond the gate of your dreams, where it recedes for a time in the eternal play of darkness and light. Thank you. I want to read a few poems that give you a little bit of a sense of home. As Joan said, on the South Coast, it's not quite California. It's more of a Mediterranean type of climate. And actually, the time in Pittsburgh has been the longest time I've been away from the sea. We went to the Outer Banks a couple of weeks ago, and that was lovely after a year away from the sea. We love the sea. On a moonless night at Grange, tonight the jetty has no end. Its wooden rails, bony arms outstretched, vanish in darkness, sleepwalking west across St. Vincent Gulf. I am here at the city's edge, unmoored, looking out to an invisible sea. No distant flickering lights appear on water or sky. No breeze touches skin, no movement catches the eye. The jetty is almost deserted. Only a lone fisherman dreams, motionless beside his empty bucket. I step out, feet sounding remote on the boards, a narrow strip of bleached wood unwinding. My body slows, slips into the rhythm of the whoosh and murmur of unseen waves. I drift into sleep, walk 65 kilometres along these weathered planks, wake up on the shore of York Peninsula. Moments of sunlight. A rain of light falls upon dripping ferns, mossy rocks, morning's slanted benediction. Sunlight paints your body, dappled mystery beneath a giant fig tree. What is invisible in this light? A frill-necked lizard basks on stone, pinpricks of sap gleam on bark. A cobweb's exact symmetry holds itself in air. So much is revealed, but here, the private unkempt thoughts, subterranean rivers of dreams, undisclosed longings, forgotten hopes, keep their places under logs, in the impenetrable reaches of caves, not waiting, not wanting to be seen. I love the play of light in your eyes. Is it just the play of light, or is it love? On tip, on rolling tip of waves, countless dancing pointillist points, a sea of glint and shifting glint, sparkled glimmer shimmer play, in swell and dip and falling dip, of surf's flung and glittered spray, refracting bright on sand, on beach, the glinting glare, the midday squint, sun-drenched breathless summertime, and salt-flecked skin, afloat in light, in shine and shine and mirrored shine. I married my wife in 2005, and before we were married, she got a job in Darwin, which is the northernmost point of Australia, about as far away from Adelaide as you can get, and she was there for a year. And I started this poem while she was up there. I finished it in Pittsburgh, so it's a poem with a long gestation. And it has a quote from Erica Jong: "The whole country is a bed in which we lie on opposite coasts. Between us, the tracks of the Gan open up landscapes, open up the imagination, connect one coast to another. In this space lies a metaphor, lies a vast inland sea that the explorers never found. It was there once. The imprints of ancient waves still mark the rocks at King's Canyon, and it is there still, within us. Before I entered it, I thought the space wide and empty, as if a country could be unwritten, as if nothing is contained within a horizon, as if dreaming could be tethered to buildings and highways. Between us, blaze orange sand, brushed with the colours of spinifex, grevillea, desert oak and mulga, lies hot beneath clear skies. Uluru, huge remnant bone of rock, hovers in a heat haze, rises lightly above the ground, changes robes at sunset. Near Alice Springs, the Larapinta Trail skirts the base of the McDonnell Ranges and shifts between shade and light. The dry creek beds of Ormiston Pound wait for rain. Packs of dingoes howl eerily under canopies of stars, an unsynchronized swell of howls up and down the vocal register. Further south, the land stretches its broad canvas, finger-painted mauve and ochre, in all directions from St. Mary's Peak. The Afghani camel riders have disappeared from view. The opal miners of Kuba Pedi pockmark the earth with their dreams. Though we could walk past without seeing, without knowing, histories and geographies lie everywhere, sacred sites and burial grounds, the ancestral lands of the Pitjantjatjara, the Yolngu and other nations. The tracks of ancient songlines cover the earth. The dreamings of the ancestors and their children fly in the wind. Between us, there is a thousand distances. There is love and a vast and full space to fill the maps of our lives. It's always fun trying to work out what you're going to read at a night like tonight. There's another newish poem I wanted to read because I like the title. This is my last poem tonight. Sex Anticipated. In Darwin, it is called the build-up. Moisture gathering in air after months of cloudless dry days, clouds gathering, the air becoming heavy as ripe fruit. It is a slow gathering, unhurried, sure of itself, day by day moving towards the horizon's contraction, the sky's darkening cloak. Humidity rises, beads of sweat on skin, damp sheets, a whir of ceiling fans, the frog's loud croaks. It is the dance before, moving towards intimacy, a first touch, a drop, a deluge, earth waiting in its bed. When your arms open, I will begin to fall, begin my downpour, drops of water on the hungry leaves, the green fronds, flashes of lightning lacing the sky, your eyes. Thank you.